Tonight, I have a real practical message, and I believe, you've heard me say many times, I believe the Bible is a real practical book. I mean, I believe the Bible is a spiritual book. I believe it tells us everything that God wants us to know about Himself, about His salvation, about heaven, about hell. But I also believe that the Bible tells us, and God uses the Bible to tell us how we ought to live our life while we're living on this earth. And so I believe that there is just so many practical day-to-day truths that are in the Bible. And sometimes because we spiritualize the book, and again, I don't want to take anything. It is God's Word. I believe every word, every punctuation mark in it is from God. But sometimes we don't read it looking for the practical truth that God has in it for us. And so tonight, I want to preach on the subject, as I mentioned this morning, how to finish. How to finish. And I would tell you as I begin that finishing is important. If you don't finish, the jobs don't get done. If you don't finish, objectives are not reached. And the world mocks people that don't finish. I mean, it says so in the Bible. Jesus was talking in Luke chapter 14, and he says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." And so Jesus was telling his disciples and others that he was teaching in that verse, look, even the world knows it's important to finish, because when the world sees somebody that starts something and doesn't finish, they make fun. They mock. And I think that going one step further, that not only the world notice people that don't finish, but so does God. And God is disappointed, and His kingdom is reproached when we as Christians start something and don't finish it. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 62, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." What Jesus was saying is, if you start something, go ahead and finish it. If you start a job, work at it until you get it done. You remember Paul and Barnabas, when they went on their first missionary journey. They took a young man named John Mark with them. And they got a little bit of the way through the journey. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem." I mean, here was a young man that started with these two men on this missionary journey. They made a couple stops, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got homesick. I don't know if it got a little rough. I mean, you know, Paul was in some pretty rough situations in some of the places that he went. And John Mark said, "Man, this ain't for me. I'm going to go back home." He quit. He didn't finish the task that he set out. And you remember when Paul and Barnabas were back in Antioch after they completed that first missionary journey, and they got ready to go on the second one, they got into a little argument. You remember what they argued about? They argued about whether they were going to take John Mark with them or not. Paul says, "No, I don't want to take him. He's a quitter." And Barnabas said, "No, we got to give him another chance." And later on, Paul gave John Mark another chance and mentioned him in some of his letters. But he said he quit. He didn't finish the task that he set out to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul mentions somebody else that quit. He says, he's talking to writing to Timothy, and he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." He says, hey, Demas was with us just like Timothy and Titus and others, but he quit. He didn't finish. He didn't finish the job that he set out to do. Now, compare Demas, compare John Mark to the Apostle Paul, who said in that same chapter of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." Notice what he says. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul says, I didn't quit. I kept at what God called me to do. And as he was writing here from at the end of his life in prison, he says, I finished the course. I kept at it until I finished. And I was thinking earlier this week, how different the Bible would be if people didn't finish. What if Noah had not finished the ark? What if Moses had not finished the tabernacle that God told him to build? What if Nehemiah had gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and had not finished? What if Paul had not finished? I tell you, if Paul had not finished, we probably wouldn't be saved, because it was through his testimony that the gospel came to us. And I'm glad that God gives us example after example in the Bible of people that set out to do something and finish the task, teaching us how important it is to finish. Finishing brings glory to God. It brings glory to His work. It brings glory to His kingdom. So anything that we can learn about how to finish is good. And I think, and I don't know if you've ever thought about the first chapter of Genesis in this light, but we're going to use the first chapter of Genesis tonight, and I'm going to give you just four simple points on how to finish. Lessons that God not only taught, but that He modeled Himself in Genesis chapter 1 about how to finish, about how to get the job done. And I know some of you were giving me a strange look this morning when I announced the title of my message, and I think I knew what was going through your mind. Well, how to finish what? What are you going to talk about? How to finish what? And I'm going to tell you that I think these little four simple steps will work in any project that you set out to do. Not only any project, I think it will help you to finish your marriage. There's too many people quitting being married before they finish their marriage. I think it'll help you finish your child rearing. There's too many people quitting being parents before they finish rearing their children. I've been on a diet the last couple weeks, so I'm going to preach to myself tonight how to finish my diet. It'll work there. It'll help you finish and graduate from college. It'll help you do that. It'll help us finish vacation Bible school this week. And so I think it'll work in many areas of life. And again, it's a lesson that God models for us here in Genesis chapter 1. And so let me give you these four simple points. How to finish. Number one, set a mark. And what I mean by that, figure out and get a dream or get a vision of what finishing means. In other words, if you set out to do something, like Bill's getting ready to start working on our steeple. Now, he's got, a couple weeks ago, we looked at a plan. He's got a vision, and he shared that vision with us, and we're going to put it in the bulletin next week. He knows what finishing looks like. Let me ask you a question. When God started in Genesis chapter 1 to make the world, do you think that He knew what it was going to look like when He got done? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I think He did. I mean, I think God had a picture in His mind and knew exactly what the world was going to look like at the end of day 6. I think He saw a heaven that was full of the sun and the moon and the stars. I think He saw an earth that had land and seas. I think He saw on that earth flowers and herbs and trees yielding fruit. I think He saw in the heavens birds. I think He saw in the oceans all the fish that He was going to make. I think He saw the animals and the creeping things and the beast of the earth that's talked about in Genesis chapter 1. I think He saw man. I think He saw a woman. God had a picture in His mind before He started. I don't think that He got up on day one and said, "Let there be light, and we'll figure out what else we're going to do tomorrow." I don't think He did that. I think he knew before He started exactly what finishing would look like. And if you're going to finish, you need to have a vision, you need to have a dream, whatever you want to call it, you need to have a mark of what it looks like to finish. Now, Noah had that when he built the ark. I mean, God gave him the plan. In Genesis chapter 6, going to be so long, so wide, so high, three stories, one door, one window, pitched within and without. And before Noah started on that project to build the ark, he knew exactly what finishing was. Same thing for Moses. When he was up on Mount Sinai, God said, "Hey, I want you to build a tabernacle. I want you to build the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to build the mercy seat. I want you to build the two cherubims over the mercy seat. I want you," and I could go on and on. But Moses knew in detail what finishing would mean because God told him, gave him all the specifications, all the plans for what the tabernacle would look like when it was done. Same thing with Nehemiah as he went back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He knew what finishing would look like. He knew before he started what the walls would look like when he got done. And again, God in Genesis chapter 1 knew what the world was going to look like when he got done. If we're going to finish, if we're going to finish the task, finish the things that God gives us to do, we have to have a picture in our mind, a mark in our mind of what finishing means. Now let me give you some examples you might not think about. Do you have a vision in your mind for what a finished marriage looks like? I don't want you to answer, I just want you to think. What do you want your marriage to look like when it's finished? When one of you goes to heaven? Or when the Lord calls you both to heaven? What do you want your marriage to look like? Have a picture. Have a vision. What do you want your child to look like when you get through rearing that child? Again, how are you going to know if you're done unless you have a picture? I mean, and you need to have something that you're shooting for. And you say, well, how do you answer a question like that? Well, let me just give you an example. I mean, when I get done with my kids and I know I'm on the tail end of, you know, having an influence over them, but I want them to be honest. I want them to tell the truth. I want them to be hard workers. I want them to be respectful. I mean, I could go on and on down the list. And that's what I'm talking about. Getting a picture in your mind of what it's going to look like when it's done. For example, I have a picture in my mind of what I want to look like when I get done with my diet. I mean, I've set a goal for myself that I step on a scale and I want the numbers to only go up that far. And I'll say, I'm finished. Although I'll talk about that in a minute. And so we need to get a mark. We need to think about, I mean, Bill's going to know when he gets done with the steeple. He's got the plan. He's going to put it all together. He's going to know when he gets done. I mean, this will work for anything in your life. You got to get a picture. You got to get a vision of what, and again, you may not know all the details. I mean, I don't know what Adam's going to be like when he's 32 years old, but I have a general idea of what I'd like him to be like. And that's what I'm talking about. Maybe you won't know all the details. I mean, as we look back here at the two little Hannahs, I mean, their moms and their dads don't know what they're going to be like when they're 21 years old. But there's some things they ought to have in their mind that have characteristics that they're going to have in their life when they're 21 years old. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about. Get a picture in your mind of what finishing is. And you say, well, Brother Darrell, I don't know how to do that. Well, here's what I suggest then. Find somebody that's already done it. If you're trying to define what you want your marriage to look like when it's finished, find a couple of senior citizens that are married that are still enjoying every single day of it. And say, that's what I want my marriage to be like when I get 78 years old. I mean, I've often looked at when Earl and Millie, and it just amazed me, as old as they were, for them by themselves, to get in a car and to drive all over the country. I said, boy, when I get that, well, that's what I want to do. And that's what I'm talking about. If you can't picture it in your mind, then find somebody that's done it and say, hey, I mean, I want it to be identical, but I want it to be something like they've got. So get a picture, get a vision, set a mark. Number two, oh, wait a minute. Number two, break that vision up into bite-sized chunks. Most things that are worth doing take time. Most things that are worth doing you can't do overnight. Most things that are worth doing you can't do in one day. So you got to break it up into small little tasks. Now, I think God was modeling this for us in Genesis chapter 1. I believe with all my heart that God could have created everything he created in Genesis chapter 1 in 1 minute. He could have created it in 1 hour. I mean, he could have said, let there be light, let there be a firmament to divide the waters from the waters, let the waters be gathered together, let dry land appear, let there be grass, herbs, and trees yielding fruit after themselves, let there be stars and the moon and the sun, let there be the birds that fly in the heavens above and the fish that fly swim in the sea. Just want to see if you were listening. Let there be the beast of the earth and the creeping thing and the cattle, and let there be man. And he could have said, I mean, I just said it in 5 minutes. God could have said all that in 5 minutes and created everything that is created in Genesis chapter 1. But he didn't. I believe one of the reasons he didn't is because he wanted to teach us. You can't get everything done in one day. And so God took 6 days to create what he created in Genesis chapter 1. Day 1, he created the light. Day 2, he created the firmament that divided the waters above the firmament from the waters below the firmament. Day 3, he gathered the waters together and made seas and let dry land appear. And then he caused the grass and the herbs and the trees bearing fruit whose seed is in itself to grow on that earth. Day 4, he made 2 great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night, and all the stars, named them all. Day 5, he created the birds and the fish. Day 6, the cattle, the creeping thing, the beast of the earth, and man. 6 days. Because I think he was trying to teach us, look, there's going to be things that I'm going to ask you to do in your life you can't do in one day, you can't do overnight, you can't do in just a few hours. It's going to take time. So divide those tasks up into bite-sized chunks and get them done a little bit at a time. Took Noah 120 years to build the ark. You know how he built it? One board at a time. It took Nehemiah 52 days to rebuild the walls. You know how he built it? One brick at a time. It took Moses almost a year to put the tabernacle together. He didn't do it himself. I mean, he had people do it. But you know how they did it? One garment at a time. One curtain at a time. One piece of furniture at a time. They broke it down into bite-sized tasks, and they did those tasks one at a time. Look, you can't have a marriage by working at it one day. You can't rear a child in a week. You can't lose 20 pounds in a week. But you can make your marriage a little bit closer to what you have in your mind, that how you want it to finish. You can make it a little bit closer today. You could get that child a little bit closer to the vision that you have for that child today. I could lose a few ounces today. That's why the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You know, when God drove the Canaanites out of the promised land, he could have just, I mean, he said he was going to use the hornets. He could have turned the hornets loose and every one of those people could have left that land and would have been empty. But he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to drive them out little by little, a little bit at a time. So break it down into bite-sized chunks. So set a mark, break it down into bite-sized chunks. Number three, persist. Keep at it. Don't quit. Decide Before you start, I'm going to finish. I'm going to get this job done. Did you ever stop and think what would have happened if God would have quit after day four? Man, he would have had a beautiful place. Would have had a beautiful heaven, beautiful earth. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, couldn't have been in the Bible. I mean, the first part of it could have been read where it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." But he couldn't say, "and all the host of them," because he hadn't created the host until he got to day 5 and day 6. God persisted. He finished. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I used it this morning, but it applies just as much as tonight as it did this morning. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I wonder in the 120 years that Noah was building the ark, Ellie, how many times he wanted to quit. I believe you're right. I believe he wanted to quit a lot of times. I think he got discouraged. I think he got tired. But he didn't quit. Nehemiah had enemies. I mean, they didn't want the wall built. They came to him and they made fun of him. They mocked him. They threatened him. They told lies about him. And yet, in 52 days, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt because Nehemiah persisted. He said the people had a mind to work. I know I'm not telling you anything new. Building a marriage is a hard job. Rearing a child is a hard job. But you got to persist. Just like God wants us to finish, Satan wants us to quit. Satan is a father of quitters. I mean, he would like us to quit everything we start because he knows it would be a reproach to God and a discouragement to us. So persist, persist, persist. And then number 4, celebrate. Celebrate. I think that's what God did. He said on day 1, "Let there be light." And the Bible says, "And God saw the light, and it was good." I think at the end of day 1, God sat back and look at that light. It's a wonderful light. He enjoyed it. And he said it was good. Now, he didn't on day 2. I don't understand that, Reg. On day 2, he made the firmament, but it doesn't say that he saw what he made on day 2 and it was good. It's not until you get to the end of day, day 3. And on day 3, he says it twice. "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering togethers of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good." Man, look at those oceans. Look at those seas. Look at those continents. Pretty. It's good. And then, "And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." I mean, he saw all the flowers, he saw all the vegetables, he saw all the trees. That's good. That's good. Same thing on day 4. Saw the sun, moon, and the stars. God said it was good. The whales and the fish and the birds that fly in the heavens. God saw it. In the day 5, God saw that it was good. Same thing on day 6. We read it in verse 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good." He celebrated at the end of every little task that he completed. That's why I think it's important you ought to celebrate your wedding anniversary. You ought to celebrate it. We made it another year. And we're a little bit closer to that vision that we have of what we want our marriage to be. You ought to celebrate birthdays. Your child's another year older. Is he or she a little bit closer to the vision that you have for him? I shouldn't say this. I've lost 9 pounds on my diet so far, 3 weeks. I set myself up in 5-pound increments. And I decided every time, Brother Dick, that I lost 5 pounds, I was going to go out and have one of those giant Snicker bars. Probably a bad celebration, but I've been doing without, just leaving all the good stuff that I want to eat alone. And I figure if I lost 5 pounds, I could afford to go out and have a Snickers bars and then start on the next 5 pounds. That's what I'm talking about. Set a reward for yourself. Celebrate. I think Noah did. I think Moses did. I think Nehemiah did. I think as Noah watched that boat take shape, that he and his boys that were working on it, every now and then they just sort of stopped and looked at it and said, man, we're making progress. We're getting there. You can tell it's a boat. Nehemiah, as the walls went up, as they got a little bit higher and as the gates were set up, I think they celebrated. They said, we're getting there. We're making progress. And if we're going to finish, we need to do the same thing. We need to set a mark. Break it down into bite-sized tasks. Persist. And then as you accomplish your goals, just go ahead and stop and thank God for helping you get them done. Recharge and get ready for the next one. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the practical advice that comes from the Bible. And I pray tonight that we would take it to heart and that it would be a help to us. Thank you for teaching it not only in the first chapter of Genesis, but throughout the many places in the Bible of people that started and finished, started and finished, started and didn't quit, but finished. And I pray that you'd help us to be like that. Father, I pray tonight that if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that tonight they would meet the author and finisher of our salvation. Jesus not only started it, but he finished it and offers us a completed work that he worked on Calvary. And so if there's somebody here tonight that has never received Christ, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit would speak to them and they'd see themselves as a sinner, see the price for that sin, and see Jesus paying that price for them. And tonight they'd take the free gift of salvation that you offered every single person. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.